Summer is here, indeed, and we are going to look at the character of God and how he reveals himself in the story of creation. And then last week we looked at God as storyteller and how his story is interwoven with our story as he breaks into the narrative of our lives and does awesome and powerful things, and how we need to remember those and set markers so that we're able to remember how he is working in our lives and how his story unfolds in ours. And so tonight I want to look at God as unpredictable. And perhaps calling God as unpredictable is frightening or unsettling. You're like, what does that mean that God is unpredictable? And hopefully I'm predictable enough in how I weave messages that you're not too concerned about that, or maybe not, I don't know. But what I'm actually going to say is that God is both unpredictable and predictable. He's predictable in the fact that he is faithful, that he comes through, that he is working out his purposes in creation in our lives. But he's unpredictable in how he does this at times. He's unpredictable in how he reveals himself, how he meets our needs, how he encounters us. So he's both unpredictable and predictable. I thought, since Everest is in the background and that VBS starts tomorrow, that we would bridge the Everest week with two mountaintop messages. So this week we're going to look at Elijah fleeing to Mount Horeb. And as I already kind of highlighted in the first time, that the Moses story, the story of how God revealed himself to Moses and then to the Israelites as with Moses as their leader, is interwoven in this Elijah story. And this is true, that the Moses story is interwoven into many stories in the Old Testament and the New Testament, or at least the Exodus story, and it's all over the place. We see Moses coming up. And this is the case both in the passage we'll look at this week with Elijah, and then next week with Moses and Elijah in the Transfiguration. To understand the significance or what's happening in this Elijah story, we need to go back to the Moses narrative a little bit. So in the New Living Translation, which we'll read in a couple of minutes, it mentions Sinai, and in the Hebrew text, it's Horeb, and these are one and the same mountain. It has to do with like two different names for the same mountain area. And this is the place where God is encountered in very important ways. And it's on this mountain that God first reveals himself to Moses. And when God reveals himself in some visual way in the text, this is called a theophany. And often theophanies happen, or when theophanies happen, the natural order of things are totally disrupted. The mountains quake, there's fire, there's disorder, there's earthquakes, the whole earth is breaking apart. Habakkuk 3, it used to be a predictable thing that I'd reference Habakkuk 3 at some point in the message. But Habakkuk 3, especially the beginning few verses from 3 to 7, is a good example of what happens when God breaks into the text. There's complete disruption of what is normal, of the calm in the situation. When God encounters Moses on the mountain, we see this first in the burning bush. And there's three important encounters which inform the Elijah story. And this first one is when God reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush. And Moses is wandering around tending sheep, and then God does this miraculous sign which catches Moses' attention. It starts in Exodus 3. And in this, God commissions Moses to be his servant, to do an important task of leading God's people out of Egypt. And it's a specific encounter for a specific task with which God prepares Moses for. The second, after the Exodus, after God removes his people from Egypt, he goes on to establish a covenant with them, as they are his people and they are his, or God is their his God. And they're called to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is bound together in a covenant. And we see in Exodus 19 and 20 that when God descends in a dense cloud, that all chaos breaks loose and the mountains are trembling and shaking. And it's a very a frightening time for the people. And they say a little bit later in the chapter, you go talk to God, he's a little bit too scary for us. The third is where God reveals himself just to Moses, and this is after the golden calf incident where the people rebel against God. And Moses requests to see the Lord's glory, and he needs to be encouraged to be the leader of the people. He needs that confirmation. And so the Lord agrees to pass by, but only to show his back and not his face. And so this experience confirms that Moses is called to be the leader of God's people. It's a confirmation of his leadership and his call in this time of concern, as the people have just rebelled against God. Moses needs to be strengthened and encouraged. So Sinai or Horeb is certainly the mountain place where God encounters his people in great and mysterious and wonderful and awesome ways. So when things go awry for Elijah, this is where he flees to encounter God in a miraculous way, to be strengthened, to be encouraged. The context of the Elijah narrative is that there's a pronouncement that there will be no rain. And right now, Ahab is the ruling monarch, and he's from the house of Omri. And he's chosen to worship the storm god Baal. So the fact that the Lord will withhold rain from the land confronts the Canaanite god Baal, saying that no, the Lord is the one who controls the rain in and out of season. He's the one that they should pray to, they should worship, they should rely on for rain, for their agricultural needs. Elijah is known for a lot of very powerful and interesting stories. The widow of Zarephath with the provision of flour and oil and then raising her son to life. And of course, the defeat of the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, where we have fire from heaven coming down. And a little callback to last week's message about 12 stones being taken from the Jordan River. Elijah, when he builds an altar in this confrontation with the prophets of Baal, he takes 12 stones, one for each tribe of the tribes of Jacob, to whom the Lord called to Jacob and said that your name would be Israel. This is linking into the tradition of God's miraculous power, connecting it to the story that God is telling. Right before the passage, which we'll read, 1 Kings 19, we're going to break into verse 8. It's on page 517-ish in the Pew Bibles. 517, but I'm going to kind of start just the bottom of 516. Anyway, Jezebel, who's Ahab's wife, threatens Elijah's life. And even though God has just made a miraculous intervention into the narrative with the feet of the prophets of Baal, Elijah's overcome with fear, and he flees. And the Lord meets and provides for his needs with food and drink. And then out of this food and drink, where an angel meets Elijah, Elijah then continues on his journey. So he had strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be the king of Israel. and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him." I sense when I read this text that Elijah is expecting to encounter the Lord in a specific kind of way, in a sort of, if you can call it, a predictable theophany. He's expecting to encounter God in one of these great kind of powerful, where the natural elements are being disturbed type of way, because this is how God has revealed himself to his people in the past. And so when the Lord passed by, it seems that this is almost happening. This is taking place. They're scattered and shattered rocks, earthquakes, fires, and these are both events where actually the Lord is not in them. It's not how he is revealing himself to Elijah. This may be the way that God breaks into the narrative, be it in the past or the future, but this isn't how he's breaking into the narrative right now, in the present, in Elijah's mountaintop experience. God is not that predictable. What we have here, and the way God reveals himself to Elijah, is a voice, a calm, faint voice, an undetectable sound. And what I learned from my Sunday school days, it was a still, small voice. And still and small are used to highlight the repetition in sound in Hebrew. In Hebrew, it would be kol, dama, mah, daka. You kind of hear the repetition of the D sound and the mah sound in that text. So they try to highlight the repetition of those sounds. We see that Elijah recognizes what has happened as the Lord reveals himself to him, because he covers his face. And this is a sign that he's creating distance from the awesome, powerful presence of God in himself. He takes a step back from this negligible noise of next to nothing, or this quiet, quivering sound. He recognizes that is where the Lord is. Elijah's only recognizes this in the sound of soundlessness that comes in the event after the things that he would have expected to have found the Lord in. The Lord's message to Elijah is almost one of chastisement as he asks the double question, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" It almost implies that he shouldn't have run to the mountaintop, that the Lord had called him to be in the midst of the situation with Ahab. He had given Elijah a powerful demonstration of his power and might in the defeat of the prophets of Baal. But even in this somewhat chastisement, the Lord encounters Elijah. He meets his needs. He reveals himself to Elijah and strengthens and encourages him. Elijah needs to be encouraged. He feels alone. He feels isolated, even though earlier in the text he'd been told that Obadiah had hidden some prophets away. Nevertheless, Elijah feels alone, and he needs this mountaintop experience. He needs to encounter the Lord. And although the Lord reveals himself in an unpredictable way to Elijah, he is not unpredictable in his faithfulness. Indeed, we find out that the Lord has already been preparing things for Elijah's return. He tells him what to encounter, what he's going to expect. He's given a task as he leaves this mountaintop, as he goes back down to the place that he has been called. He's called to anoint another prophet, another king, and that there's a remnant of people who have not followed after Baal. The Lord has already provided for Elijah's needs. He's already created a situation that Elijah is supposed to live into, to work out the task that God has called him for. He leaves encouraged, but he also leaves with the command to go fulfill these tasks that he has been called to do. God is both unpredictable and predictable. He is unpredictable in the way he reveals himself faithfully. He's unpredictable in how he meets people's needs. He's unpredictable in how he breaks into the story. But he is predictable in the fact that he is faithful, that he is working in circumstances, even if that's not how we might expect, or we might hope, or we might long for. He is a God who is covenantly faithful, who stays with his people, who meets their needs even when when he seems far off, even when things seem destitute, when things seem impossible, when there's fear, when there's silence, he encounters those situations. And that's why with last week we talked about putting memories and stones and ideas that draw us back to the place where God has revealed himself in the past, to remember his faithfulness, to remember how he has revealed himself before. And the same way that Elijah runs back to Horeb, he runs to Sinai, he runs to the place where the Lord revealed himself in very powerful ways throughout the life of the Israelite people. We need to find places and memories and situations where we can flee to those places when we feel alone, when we feel destitute, when we feel broken, when we need an encounter with God to sustain us, to restore us, to renew us. We need places where we can encounter the living God and hear even his still small voice, his silence, speak to us as he reveals his plan, the task that he has us for. Sometimes like Elijah with the fact that some were already hidden, some prophets were already hidden away. Sometimes we already know that God is working, but we choose not to see it or choose not to hear it. Instead, we focus on the things that seem impossible and turn our eyes from the way that God has already made provision, the way that he has already been moving in the circumstance. Sometimes we still need that encounter. We need God's revelation in our lives to strengthen us, to focus our eyes once again on the way he has moved. Sometimes God is moving in ways that we didn't expect, and we don't know how he is acting, but we can trust that he indeed is moving. It's already highlighted one of the important things about the Elijah encounter with God is that God sends him back into the place that Elijah was already ministering with a new focus on the task that he has been called to. He's called to minister to the people. He's called to be a light in a time when there is a lot of darkness in the people of Israel. He's given a task that he's called to fulfill as the Lord's prophet. And so when we encounter this God, we are, as people who have had a mountaintop experience or who have had experience with the cross of Jesus Christ, where our lives have been restored, or where we go again and encounter God afresh, we're often sent out of those places of need, those places of longing, those places where we need to be filled with a new task, a new focus on a task, to continue to be the hands and the feet of our Lord and Savior, to continue to be a light in dark places. As Elijah is sent down the mountain, we are also sent out into the world after having encountered him anew and in fresh, with new strength, with new opportunity, with new spirit to encounter those dark places. The table is a place where God reveals himself to us each and every week. And even though the elements of the table and perhaps my preamble to the table are often predictable as we go into that time of reflection and response, but the opportunity to encounter God is an unpredictable experience. It's an experience where God can surprise us, meet our needs afresh, speak to us about things we might not have even been listening for. It's always an opportunity to have a mountaintop experience where we encounter the risen Lord and the Holy Spirit once again in our lives, to meet our needs, to refresh us, to encourage us, to nourish us, to send us back into the world. We looked at a few different experiences, Moses and the burning bush, and Moses is wandering around, but God breaks into that narrative, and perhaps we feel like we are wandering around, and we need God to capture our attention and draw us once and again to the task that he has us for. Or perhaps we're a little bit like the Israelites as they first encountered God on that mountain, where we need to make a commitment to him, where we need to press in once again and form a commitment, a covenant, as the Israelites would, with him, and restore a relationship for a first time or perhaps a new time. Or Elijah, perhaps we're fleeing because we're discouraged or disheartened, and we need to be encouraged once again by our Lord and Savior. God is faithful to meet us in these needs, in these opportunities, in these wanderings, in these places where we need to make new commitments. the table, the cup, and the bread are just like the mountaintop, are just like Horeb, where the presence of God dwelt for Elijah, for Moses. It's a place where we can encounter his spirit and his presence afresh.